N-Y-Y-S-T.
Hold up, why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where their problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play a roulette with each step I progress, no less. Go ahead and place your bets. Cause we know where we at, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops there. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up.
The Virginia Lottery has a new draw game.
Play Millionaire for Life online or in-store for the chance to win $1 million every year for life. Must be 18 or older to play. Please play responsibly. 888-532-3500.
The Virginia Lottery.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Welcome back. This is episode 532 of the NYYST podcast. We are presented by NYY Underground. And just a few moments ago, the Yankees wrapped up a big series win in Toronto. They take today's game 8-3 after a 3-1 victory on Saturday. And finally, the New York Yankees take a series up in Toronto after what was just a house of horrors for them in 2025, and the biggest reason in my mind that the New York Yankees did not win a division and did not get out of the American League Divisional Series last year is they just couldn't win in Toronto. And after Friday's game, you were thinking that more of the same was going to happen to the Yankees. They finally made Trey Yesavage look human, and Ryan Weathers is just mired in a terrible slump here, giving up more home runs. Every time the Yankees chipped away and got a little bit closer, the bullpen just gave it back up. They lose 8-5, and you're saying, here we go, more of the same. The Yankees can't win baseball games up in Toronto. And then Gausman and Cam Schlittler were locked in a pitcher's duel on Saturday until Paul Goldschmidt comes to the plate in the ninth inning on Saturday's game and cracks an shot, two-run home run. The Yankees win that game 3-1, and then later in the evening, the New York Knicks win their first championship in 53 years, the city of New York's first championship since the New York Football Giants won Super Bowl 46 by defeating the New England Patriots. Congratulations to the New York Knicks. Congratulations to the New York Knicks fans. I am what I will call a very casual Knicks supporter, and I felt like I was going to throw up all of last night during that game. Incredible playoff stretch for the Knicks here, and I don't want to hear anybody take anything away from the New York Knicks. Okay, if you're a Knicks hater, sit down in the corner and be quiet. The New York Knicks in the postseason won 13 consecutive games. How many consecutive road games did they win? Was it 8 or 9? Just complete dominance through the Eastern Conference. And then these incredible, incredible comebacks in the NBA Finals. Do not take anything away from the Knicks. Knicks fans, don't let anybody take anything away from you. This is your moment. Enjoy it. They can never take that trophy away from you. Happy for all the Knicks fans out there. I was obviously rooting for the Knicks. I was rooting for the Knicks because one of the best men at my wedding, Chris, is a huge Knicks fan. Not the Chris that you guys are used to. Huge Knicks fan. So happy for him. A couple of close calls. He's also a Ranger fan over the years there. Finally gets to celebrate a championship. because obviously not alive for the Knicks' previous titles. I mean, he was 10 when the Rangers won in 94. So, you know, his first one as an adult where you can truly remember it. And one of the coaches for the lady, my Lady Hornets, our Lady Hornets, Coach Evan. Shout out to Coach Evan. Big Knicks fan. And if I didn't coach with him, I probably wouldn't have been into this Knicks run as much as I would have. So happy for him. Happy to my for my boy Randy from Pizza Express days. I gave him a shout last night. Happy for him. One of the truest and hardcore Knicks fans out there. Happy for all of you guys. Not happy for the morons out there setting buses on fire and all that nonsense. Just unnecessary for that to see that and to put a damper on what should have been a celebratory moment. And obviously rooting you for it because it's been a long time since the city of New York, the New York sports fans have gotten to celebrate a championship. So once again, congratulations to the Knicks. Congratulations to the Knicks fans. And can the Yankees actually do it? Can we see a couple of titles here in a few months after not experiencing one since 2012? Can we see one in a few months here? Well, the Yankees are they're rolling right now. They're playing really good baseball. It was another game today where, again, a little bit of frustration going on here because Patrick Corbin, they could have knocked him out in the second inning. They didn't do it. They had their opportunities, left a lot of runners on. They were able to scratch across a couple. You felt like they left three or four more out there. He was able to settle in, and Will Warren just, he was on a struggle bus today of not being able to throw strikes. And he was out of there pretty early in four innings. He throw 98, 99 pitches there. And the bullpen held it down for the most part, except for Jake Bird when the Yankees finally cracked through in the sixth there with Anthony Volpe's run scoring single. Immediately gives it up to with a home run to David Schneider. But Camille Duvall looked great today. And once again, David Bednar has now had eight consecutive scoreless outings. And how was David Bednar able to lock down a win for the Yankees? Well, that man is Ben Rice. Bad Ben Rice. Do you smell what the rice is cooking? Absolutely obliterates a slider, and puts one in the seats. And then Jose Caballero puts the cherry on top with a three-run home run later on in the inning, which you know Cabby desperately wanted to do with all the bullshit with the pitch clock that was going on with him. And he is able to really ice the game away there in the Yankees win 8-3. And you know what? It wasn't all sunshine and roses for the Yankees in this game, in this series here. Obviously, you know, we're dealing with the struggles of Ryan Weathers. And we'll start there real quickly with Ryan Weathers serving up a lot of taters here. I'm a big tater tot guy. I'm not a tater guy when my pitchers serve them up. Okay, I'm not a big fan of that. And Ryan Weathers has been doing that a lot lately here. And we're at a point in the season here where he's basically doubled his innings from last season. So is he fatigued a little bit? Is that causing his mechanics to be off? Is that causing his pitches to be flat? These are questions that we have to ask ourselves. And I am not a guy that is going to turn on Ryan Weathers and call him bum, garbage, more dumpster diving from Brian Cashman, which I've seen people say a lot over the last couple starts here. And hell, they were saying it early on in the season. He had that one start where he gave up a bunch of home runs. I think Ryan Weathers has shown the stuff to be a good pitcher in this league. I feel like, to me, what I'm watching is a left-handed version of Will Warren based on the fan reactions here, where I'm watching a guy where I see the stuff is really, really good, just not been able to put it all together yet. And really, if you look at the innings that he's logged in baseball, in the big league level, you can see why he's not put it all together. And I think the Yankees should really look at a situation here and say to themselves, we can just make something up here, a little Phantom IL stint, and get him to transition into a more of a bullpen role and let Elmer take his starts until then, until Max Fried is back. And we got a, you know, a nice update from Max Fried that he's able to start throwing off a mound, which is the first step into Max Fried coming back. And I think with the way the Yankees have been playing here, you can let Elmer Rodriguez take those starts, because you really can't get any worse than what you've gotten out of Ryan Weathers over the last handful of starts that he's made here. So you let Elmer take the starts, and you do what a lot of people, myself included, want from Ryan Weathers, and that's transition him into the bullpen. So I'm not throwing in the towel on Ryan Weathers. I'm not doing that by a long shot, and I don't think any Yankee fan should be throwing in the towel on Ryan Weathers, because the talent is there. I think we've seen enough from Ryan Weathers to say, hey, the Yankees acquired him knowing this was a project, that this wasn't going to be a finished product in year one here in the Bronx, and he's got a lot of control left, and I don't know why people are so ready and willing to just roll that to the wayside. I'm not. And I think that if you limit the innings and the pressure that he's feeling going out there on having to go 5-6 innings when he might feel a little fatigued here, and use him maybe in a Michael King role where he gives you 2 innings twice a week, can help cover some of the deficiencies in his bullpen. And maybe we don't have to look at Jake Bird anymore. Which Jake Bird, he's such a fascinating case here, because if you look at the sinker-slider combination from this guy, you wonder how he ever leaves anything in the middle of the plate for guys to tattoo, but he does that. And then you look at Camilo Duvall later on in the game, and he's just ripping out sliders that guys can't touch because he's just dominating with 101 mile an hour cutters and sinkers that you ever wonder how he gets hit. But the Duvall that we saw today is the Duvall we need to see every day. And the David Bednar that we saw on Saturday evening is the David Bednar that we need to see every time out there, because if that's the closer for the Yankees don't have a ninth inning problem. Again, he got into a little bit of trouble in the ninth inning today. He got out of it. But really, that's a play Anthony Volpe's got to make, especially in the ninth inning. You're trying to get a series win and get the hell out of Toronto. You got to make that play. The Yankees announcers are always trying to give Anthony Volpe an excuse for why he doesn't do something. Oh, it's hit really hard. Good. You're a major league shortstop. Make the play. That's what you're there for, right? To make the play. And I said it on Bronx or Nowhere on Thursday night. And if you're not subscribed to NYY Underground on YouTube, please do so. We're going to be on a little hiatus here because of the Yankees schedule, but we will be back after the Boston game on Saturday, June 27th. But we would still want you subscribed to NYYU so you can check out everything that's going on over there. Because I'm tired of talking about Anthony Volpe. And I think you guys know that, the longtime listeners of NYYST know how sick and tired I am of talking about Anthony Volpe, but it's a story. It's a story that's not going away, and the Yankees won't let this story go away. And then after today, these are the things that the Yankees cling to. He had a couple of really nice at-bats that drove in runs. He made a great play in the field. And then these are the things that they point to and say, see, we told you it's there. And then how many friggin' times is it not there? Well, if Anthony Volpe is going to go on a little Anthony Volpe 10-day heater here, the Yankees really need it right now. Because while things, like I said, things weren't all sunshine and rainbows, excuse me, for the Yankees here. And one of the things that happened on Friday night, aside from Ryan Weathers stinking up the joint again, is that Trent Grisham has now gone down with an injury here, and he's on the injured list. And I think a lot of you know that I'm not the biggest fan of Trent Grisham, but Trent Grisham has really stepped up here for the Yankees in a situation where they need him to step up because of the injury to Aaron Judge. And we got bad news on Giancarlo Stanton because he's had a setback because he tweaked his calf running the bases. And you guys know I love Giancarlo Stanton. We bow at the altar of our playoff god, Giancarlo Stanton. But the guy is as durable as a wet paper bag. And the Yankees are going to do something in 2027 that you don't want them to do, because G's going to be here another year. And that's continue to risk Aaron Judge's health by playing him out in the outfield every day. And they're going to do that because they don't want to get rid of Giancarlo Stanton. They're going to have to DH Giancarlo Stanton. And at what point do you say to yourself, enough is enough with Giancarlo Stanton? And that's why I think I shocked my co-host, Chris and SGR, when we did keep him or dump him in the offseason. And I said that I would trade Giancarlo Stanton because at this point, you just know what you're getting out of Big G. And you say to yourself, is it all worth the October run when he wasn't there in October last year? I mean, he played, but he wasn't good. He wasn't the G that carried the Yankees to the World Series in 2024. So if he's not going to be that guy, do you really want to sit there and deal with him missing half the season for things that really shouldn't keep a Major League Baseball player out of a lineup for 80 games? And that's the pace that we're on right now. And it's frustrating to hear that Giancarlo Stanton is going to miss more time with this setback, with the tweak in his calf running the bases, because they need him back out there. You're down, Aaron Judge. You're down, Trent Grisham. You need Giancarlo Stanton back out there, taking up a big void, filling a big void in the middle of this lineup. So it's frustrating when you hear that G's going to miss more time. It's time for Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones to shine right now. The plan was not for Jason Dominguez to come back up here in the Toronto series. It was in the Chicago series once they got home on Tuesday at the earliest. Well, the injury to Trent Grisham has certainly changed that, and he's been back up here since Saturday. He's going to get a lot of run here. So is Spencer Jones, although Jones was on the bench today with the left-hander. We've heard a lot about Spencer Jones. We've heard a lot about Jason Dominguez. We haven't always seen the results at the major league level. Well, now with the injuries to Giancarlo Stanton, with the injury to Aaron Judge, and with the injury to Trent Grisham, this is the time for these guys to shine. This is the time now, after we've heard so much about Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez, this is now the time for those two guys to cash in and show the Yankees, hey, this is the reason why you never traded us, to show the fan base here. This is the reason why you've heard so much about us over the last couple of years. This is the opportunity for Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones to prove that they were worth all the hype, they were worth never being put in trade packages, and they finally have an opportunity here where no one's really around to interrupt this, to show that they belong here, being major league players, and can be key contributors to a team that is playing really good baseball right now, is back in the front as the American League East leaders, and has aspirations of going to the World Series this year. So that's all right in front of Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez. The only two guys that can stop Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez from doing that, and I know y'all are going to joke that it's Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone, but in reality, it's Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez. So those are the guys. Those are the guys right there that you're looking in at and saying these are the guys that have to step up and play big games and get big hits for the Yankees, because they're directly here because of injuries to Giancarlo Stanton, Trent Grisham, and Aaron Judge. So you are the guys that have to step up and play good baseball, because we've heard your names long enough now. We don't want to hear about the talent. We want to see the talent, and the Yankees need to see the talent, and we need to see the talent here. It's important now. Because like I said, the Yankees are back in front of in the American League East here. I don't technically feel like they are, because you guys know that I'm a big loss column guy. They're tied in the loss column. They're 43-27. Tampa's 40-27. So by percentage points, they're in first place. They're to me, I feel like they're tied. And right now, as we're on the wrong date here, but right now, I think as we're recording, yeah, the Rays are up 3-1 in the fourth inning. So even if that score holds, the Yankees will go to bed tonight tied for the American League East lead, percentage points in first place. So, you know, they were seven games out like 2 weeks ago. And yes, part of that has to do with Tampa coming back down to earth. But you also have to win the games. And people said the Yankees couldn't beat good teams. Well, they went up to Cleveland. They took 2 out of 3. I don't hear them saying you can't beat good teams anymore. And regardless of what Toronto's record is, the Yankees don't play well in Toronto. They haven't played well in Toronto last year. And as I said earlier in the show, that's the biggest reason why the Yankees didn't get out of the American League Division Series last year. They won, what did they go, 1-7? I think they played eight times. Five and then two? So if I'm doing my math, that's 7. Where they were 1-6. I'm trying to remember how many. I think they played nine games, right? It was a 4-game set, then a 3-game set. So they went 1-6, then they went 0-2. So they went 1-8 up in Toronto last year. So make a better argument to me for why the Yankees didn't get out of the ALDS last year when they went 1-8 in Toronto. So that's why this was important for the Yankees to go up there and keep the Blue Jays a below 500 team. Don't let them gain any momentum and kind of exercise some demons from 2025. And they did that. It didn't always look pretty. It sure as hell didn't look pretty on Friday night, and you were thinking it was going to be more of the same. But Cam Schlitter went out there and did Cam, you know, even though he wasn't as sharp as we usually seen him, still went out there and battled Gausman inning for inning, allowed one run over 7 until Unk went up there and got a pitch that he could drive out of the ballpark in the 9th inning. And then today, you know, you felt like the Yankees left a lot of opportunities out there, and so did Toronto, but you don't really care what Toronto does or doesn't do because you're focusing on the Yankees leaving the opportunities out there until, again, the 9th inning. When Ben Rice got a pitch that he absolutely demolished, and then Cabbie put the icing on the cake. So it was a big series win for the Yankees. You can't say that it was anything but. And now they're coming home to play for you. I can't believe that I'm saying this, but they're coming home to play a first-place Chicago White Sox team, which has a chance to kind of go and run and hide a little bit here from the Cleveland Guardians, because you got that news that Jose Ramirez broke the hamate bone in his hand, so you know he's going to be out for a while. So the White Sox have an opportunity here, but hopefully the Yankees continue to go out there, continue to play good baseball, because then Cincinnati's coming in after that, and they're in last place, but they're 33-36, and I'm sure that the Yankees are going to want to – what am I looking at here? And I'm sure that the Yankees are going to want to go out there and continue to play good baseball regardless of who is in there. So, I mean, it's an opportunity here for the Yankees to have a really nice homestand, because even though the Chicago White Sox are in first place, they're not as good as the Yankees. Let's be honest here. Nobody in the American League is as good as the New York Yankees. I've been steadfast in saying that for a very, very long time. Even when they were behind Toronto, behind Tampa by a lot, you kind of still felt like the Yankees, despite being in a bad place, still were better than how they were playing. And now that they've gotten themselves back to the top of the American League East and back to the top of the American League, you can really look around the American League. And again, I'm going to say this one more time. Make an argument for me right now. Even with the injuries, how you don't think the Yankees can get out of the American League this year. They don't have any excuse. These are the key injuries the Yankees have dealt with guys missing significant time this year. Aaron Judge, Trent Grisham, Giancarlo Stanton, Max Fried, Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon. This would cripple other teams. The Yankees are the best team in the American League dealing with all of that. So make the argument for why they have an excuse for not being the team standing across from the National League champions in late October. You don't have one. I don't have one. And they better sure as hell not have one should they get knocked out before the World Series this year, because there is no excuse. The Yankees have dealt with as significant of injuries as anybody in baseball this year, and they're still sitting at the top of the American League. So a lot of times we don't want to give Brian Cashman credit. Let's give him some credit here for building a team that has a lot better depth than they've had in recent years. And now he's got an opportunity to go out there in about a month and put his finishing touches on this team that, again, should have zero excuses for not being the American League champions this year. And then it's all about who's going to drop their nuts on the field in the biggest moments in the World Series. Because as I've said numerous times, this show is all about optimizing opportunities in October for the Yankees. So who's going to do that? Yeah, baseball is a frustrating sport to sit here and analyze on a weekly or bi-weekly basis. Because you lose a series, you think the team's going nowhere, they stink. They go and win five. They go 5-1 through Cleveland and Toronto, and you're feeling pretty damn good about a team that lost Aaron Judge and Trent Grisham in the last couple of weeks, and got a setback from Giancarlo Stanton. Oh, you can even throw Jason Dominguez in there for a long-term injury that the Yankees had to fight through, because he was up here, or expected to help cover some of the deficiencies from Stan's injury. And he got hurt himself. There are no excuses for the Yankees. So, we're going to look ahead here Come on, let's go back to the Yankees, okay? So, like I said, the Yankees are going to have a nice off day tomorrow, chilling out, relax, after they just had a 5-1 roadie here through Cleveland and Toronto. And then they're going to come home for three against the White Sox, all 7-0-5 games. It's going to be Davis Martin, who's having a really good year, pitching to 2-4-1 against Gerrit Cole, who, he was on the struggle bus himself, being able to throw strikes in Cleveland. You like to see a lot more of efficiency out of Gerrit Cole on Tuesday night. And hopefully, you get a nice 6-inning, 1-run, 8-strikeout performance from Gerrit Cole. And, he can get back on track here a little bit. And then on Wednesday, you're looking at Anthony Kay against Carlos Rodon. And then to close out the series on Thursday, you're looking at Sean Burke against Ryan Weathers. And Ryan Weathers, he's got to have a big performance on Thursday night. Because this is why I think he can't translate into the bullpen. He struck out 81 guys in 74 innings. Maybe you cut down on some of the pitches. Maybe you go fastball changeup. Maybe you go fastball slider. You make it a little bit more simple. And you don't have to worry, in his mind, he doesn't have to worry about going 5 or 6 innings. You worry about just getting 4 or 5 batters instead. You get a little bit of uptick in velocity. Man, I really think this kid, he could really be a weapon out of the bullpen this year. But he's got to pitch better. He really does, than what we've seen. And then, like I said, Cincinnati is going to come to town. And if you're going to be out at Yankee Stadium on Saturday, 1:35 start, get there early. Okay? It's Aaron Judge MVP bobblehead day. I was looking at the schedule, and I'm like, I got to find a Saturday where I can get out to Yankee Stadium where it's not going to be a zoo. And there's not many opportunities this year, because you're looking at July 4th. Okay? It's tough to get out there on July 4th, especially when my wife is going to be working. One of her side gigs is that she plans the 4th of July street fair in her town. So she's going to be working all day. Can I get a babysitter? Yeah, I can always get a baby. But you know what? I also want to go out there and support all the hard work my wife did. So that takes. And then you got the Dodgers at 8:08. Then we're already into friggin' August here. It's Old Timers Day. Then you're looking at Toronto, 1:35. And then a doubleheader on a weekend that I'm probably going to be away. And then it's September. That's how fast this season is gone. So then I was looking, I was like, okay, June 20th against the Reds looks like a prime Saturday game to go to. And then you find out it's Aaron Judge bobblehead day. And people are going to be lining up down the friggin' street to get that thing. And I said, you know what? If I'm going to go, obviously I'm going to want to get it because I'll invest the money into my collection if I'm not already investing the money into the ticket, parking, yada, yada, yada. So I don't want to go there and not get it. But I also don't want to deal with the nonsense and the headaches of sitting there and waiting, trying to get in, knowing what a clusterfuck it's going to be and seeing what a clusterfuck it was at the race a couple of weeks ago. And they couldn't even handle 2,300 people. And now you got 40,000 people trying to collect a bobblehead. And we all know we've all been there before. So if you heard me say this in the beginning of the show, you know that this is episode 532. And why that's important here is because you all know that this is the final season of NYYST. And as you've seen here, we've kind of gone through this, how quickly the season has gone here, and that there's only a couple more homestands, and then we're in friggin' September. So I don't know if I've ever said this out loud. It's always something that's kind of throughout my life has always bothered me. I don't know. It's OCD, if you want to call it that or not. But I hate when things don't end in zero or five. I hate it. Yesterday I went for a run, and I was trying to run 2.15 miles, and it clocked me at 2.16, and it just irritated me the whole day because I knew it was going to clock me at 2.16. I would have went to 2.20. So I said to myself, I'm doing the math here, and I'm thinking that we could probably end the show on a nice, quote, round number, because I think 18 more shows gets – well, I know 18 more shows gets us to 550, and even if the Yankees get deep into October, that number should get us to where we need to go. So right now, tentatively, there are 18 episodes left of the NYYST podcast, and it really puts it into perspective how quickly this thing is going to end here. So I'm a little bit like – I think you guys know I'm a little bit bittersweet about ending this show. I love doing it. It's been a hell of a 10-year ride here. It's time. It was probably time 2 years ago. And again, shout out to Sem for putting it on life support. And obviously, you know, he hasn't been around this season. He's okay. He's doing well. He's just, you know, like Chris and Ryan, it's just not in the cards right now. Hopefully we do hear from Sem again before the end of the season. I didn't want to end it after Chris stepped away. I just felt like I wasn't ready for it. And like I said, I hate ending things on. It bothers me. It would have bothered me if we didn't, knowing that this was the 10th season coming up. Like I just explained, it would have bothered me to no end ending on 9. So we went in one more year. And here we are, we're sitting in the middle of June looking at about 18 episodes left, and it's time, but still I'm going to be really emotional that last episode, knowing that a 10-year run is over. And there's only one way this 10-year run has to end, and it's the Yankees following the New York Knicks down the Canyon of Heroes 4 months later. That is what has to happen. We need it. We all need it here. And as happy as I am for my Knicks fan friends, the guys that I shouted out earlier in the show, I need that myself. I need that. Inject that feeling back into my veins. 2012 for the Giants, long time ago. 2009 for the Yankees, even longer. One more for the road. The show has to end the only way it was meant to end. And that's not airing out our grievances, spilling our guts out, doing fan therapy, and dumping the emotional trauma of another season. It's celebrating the 28th World Championship for the New York Yankees and then saying goodbye to the greatest fans there are. And that's you, the NYYST fans. And if you are one of those NYYST fans and you haven't done so already, hey, like I said, there's about it could be 4:45, it could be 5:55, it's around 18 left, man. Like, it depends on how deep the Yankees run is. Hopefully we don't have to cut it short, but I think 550 is the number here. So you're looking at 18 episodes left after today. And if you want to make sure you catch every one of those episodes, make sure you are subscribed to the very podcast platform you're listening to me on right now so you don't miss anything throughout the final season of NYYST. And please, guys, leave us a 5-star rating and review on that podcast platform. We'd love to hear from you guys here in our final season. A little going away present for us. And like I said earlier, please subscribe to NYY Underground. Bronx or Nowhere won't be back to the 27th, but you don't want to miss the Designated Spitters, Game Season Live, or anything else happening over on the U. And we still are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. This is the final season, and we're taking it out. Still the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. We love you guys so much. Thank you for your continued support of the show in the final season and all 10 seasons. This has been episode 532. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.
When you play the Virginia Lottery's new Millionaire for Life game, you have the chance to win $1 million every year for life. Play today.
Must be 18 or older to play. Please play responsibly. 888-532-3500.
The Virginia Lottery.